Thank you, Shauna. Thank you, men. If you have your Bibles tonight, Hebrews chapter 3 is where we'll be looking tonight. And if you'd like a copy of the outline, you can pick one. Doc has some right here, and if you raise your hand, he'll be glad to give you one. Hope you'll pick one of those up. It'll help you as you follow along with us as we continue to study the book of Hebrews. So I hope that you'll be with us as often as you can. So as we seek to honor Jesus, as we study these powerful, wonderful words together. I want us to go back and begin reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9, and we'll spend most of our time tonight only in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But let's go back now and try to get our minds around these words. We moved fairly quickly through chapter 2 last week. Chapter 1 seeks to highlight for us the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, fully divine, begotten of God, coming from God the Father, fully divine, not created, but the divine Son of God. Then we have in chapter 2 the explanation of Jesus as he comes to this world and is fully human, fully identifies with us as our Lord and Savior, but has complete identification with all that it means to be a human. So we begin reading again in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. That is the summary verse of chapter 2. We do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. The cross and his atoning sacrifice for all people. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That is, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him, and behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make payment, propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And then our primary focus tonight will be verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. Heavenly Father, help us now tonight to understand your word. We come tonight from all kinds of busy schedules and challenges. We actually pause to pray for the people down at the bottom of the hill and the auto accident going on down there at the bottom of the hill, the church. We pray whatever the need is that you would protect and take care of those people. We also pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight, that we would have the ability to understand your word. We need to understand the importance of our great high priest, apostle, the one who is our brother and our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Forgive us of our sins so that we might be able to hear your word tonight clearly. Remove the distractions from our minds and our hearts for just a little while here. May we have just a little while to think about deeply these things that you have taught us in your word. And may we be doers of your word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ and the family of God. So I take you to verse number 3. Therefore, holy brethren, we don't often think about Jesus as our brother, but he is. We read these words, and I'll again read them to you. Verse 11, chapter 2. For both he who sanctifies, that is the Lord Jesus, and those who are sanctified, that is all of us who've come to know Jesus. Sanctified means to be set apart for holy purposes, are all from one Father, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, begotten of God, fully God, but coming from the Father, and we who are now children, made children of God, being born again, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Your brother Jesus. We don't often think about our brother Jesus. So I want to contemplate with you tonight. So the therefore of chapter 3, verse 1 takes us back to these verses that I want to refer to again in chapter 2. You must connect these places because these are natural conclusions. These therefores you find, especially in the book of Hebrews, the way it's written, call us to always go back in order to understand what's going before us. So the book of Hebrews is a book that highlights and honors the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember somebody saying to me one time, you know, it seems like all you do is talk about Jesus. What else you want me to talk about? I mean, can we talk about the Titans? Can we talk about the government? Thank you. You want me to talk about what the very comment demonstrated the lack of understanding about what really matters? You see, to understand the Lord Jesus, this is what the book of Hebrews is about, folks. And it's important for us to read God's word. This book lifts up the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of the Jewish system, to all the Jewish leaders. We saw he's greater than the angels in chapter 1. We find that he is the Son of Man, chapter 2. God intended for man to live with dominion in the created garden, but he fell. His dominion was lost. It's restored in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. What else is there to talk about but Jesus? Let me tell you, as long as I preach, I'm going to preach about Jesus without apology. If that's boring and people don't want to hear about it, I didn't do it for you to cheer. I really didn't. I'm just simply saying that's what I intend to do. So we're studying the book of Hebrews, and for many months now we will study about the superiority of the Lord Jesus. If you confess Jesus as Lord, you need to know who he is, what he has done, and how to surrender to him. So tonight, let's start by talking about Jesus, our brother, and the family of God. It's a rather obscure thought. We don't always get to it. I want you to see, first of all, that God the Father brings us into the family of God through the new birth. Let me read it again to you. Verse 10, chapter 2, for it was fitting for Jesus... For it was fitting for him, that is the Father, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. See this phrase, bringing many sons. This is where it starts. Sons and daughters. children of God, bringing sons to glory, to perfect the author, the leader of their salvation through suffering. The leader of our salvation is the Lord Jesus. He is the author of our salvation. And many have been brought to be sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I won't go through and talk about that, but to all of you who are here tonight, you must be born again. You must be born again. You can't be religious. You can't just go through the motions. You can't just read your Bible. You can't just try to do better. You must be born again. You must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You must put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You must be born again. That is how you become a son. You're brought into this world as a son of glory. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Follow the logic. For both he who sanctifies, the Lord Jesus makes us holy, and those who are sanctified, those of us who are coming to know Jesus and are born again, you are now called a holy one. We don't always live holy. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth is unholy. Sometimes the places we go are unholy. But we are called holy ones. We are called the sanctified. We are sanctified. We're saved. And now the Holy Spirit is making us more like Jesus, separating us from old ways. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. So I read for you again two famous verses that I've put them there on your sheet if you'd like to look them up, or I can just read them to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is a very famous passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. That's what it means to become a son of glory, or a daughter of glory. Caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But then again, the verse that I read to you last week in haste, as we were finishing, back over in Matthew chapter 12, while Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold my mother and my brothers. Behold my mother and my brothers. Jesus said, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That starts by being born again and believing in Jesus. He is my brother and sister and mother. I want you to know tonight, church, that you have a good family. You come from a good family if you're born again. And you've got a wonderful older brother. And his name is the Lord Jesus. Do you hear me tonight? You have become sons of glory. What we're going to discover in the book of Hebrews is this powerful truth that you're saved or you're lost. See, the dynamics and power of it are so, some are confused by this in the book, and we'll discover this as we go. You're either a saved child of God, a son of glory, a daughter of glory, one of God's children in the family of God, and the Lord Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, but he's also our brother. The reason why it's called that is because Jesus took on flesh as we are. He is brethren. It is the word used to describe men and women from the same family, from the same Father. The Lord Jesus, begotten of God, not born, always alive, always God, pre-existed eternally from ever, forever. We don't understand that mystery. And yet we are now children of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's caused us to be born again. And who are those who are my brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God, the will of my Father. If you do the same will of the Father that the Lord Jesus did, we do what Jesus did. We do what Jesus did. If I'm a follower of Jesus, if I'm in the family of God, I do what Jesus did. I don't ever want to displease the Father. I want to do the will of the Father. I want to understand what it is. And to do that, I must study God's Word. I must read God's Word. I must spend time with God's people. You come from a great family if you're born again. People always making excuses about their family of origin. We're not talking about your family of origin, whatever your last name is. You have now become a son of glory if you're born again. And that's a permanent condition, by the way. Jesus took on the flesh and blood of his brethren. Look at verse 14. So he says, by the way, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. And the Lord Jesus has done that. Behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, all of us have our flesh and blood. We all today were reminded of our limitations, no matter how young you may be. You are flesh and blood. You can only be one place at one time. And even though you think you know everything, you don't. You like that, Tom? So we have this reality of our human condition. We are of flesh and blood, but what does the Bible say? Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same. Jesus Christ took on flesh and blood, fully God, but fully man. He knows what it's like to be tired. He slept in the back of a boat. While the storm, he was exhausted. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. He asked the woman at the well, give me a drink. He sent his disciples numerous times to go get food. When he's talking to that woman at the well, they go to get food because Jesus was hungry. He was flesh and blood. He shares in the flesh and blood. He himself partook of the same that through death he might render powerless the devil. And we've talked about that. Jesus was made like his brethren. In all things, Jesus was made like us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul's drawing some conclusions. We're talking about Philippians 2 on Sunday night. In Philippians 2, 7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus understands. Our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, knows exactly how it feels to be fully human. And yet he is our God. A God who knows what it's like to be human. The family of God is a holy family. So now we come to verse number one. Therefore, I'm going to speak to you tonight, holy brethren. We won't get past verse 1 tonight because I have much to say to you about this. And I hope that you'll be able to hear me. The family of God are the brethren of God. We are holy brethren, not just brethren by blood, not blood brethren. Notice it does not say blood brethren. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again and you become a son of glory, you're a part of the family of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, but he's also our brother. And you are with the brethren tonight. Brethren meaning men and women. I've given you the references that are used throughout the book of Hebrews to brethren. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, that they're not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Chapter 10, verse number 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, chapter 13, verse number 22. I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, talking about this whole letter, for I have written to you briefly. This book is written to the brethren, written to those who are born again. But among the brethren, there are always those who hear God's word but have not yet been saved. They're not yet children of God. They may appear to be, but they're not. There are those who come among God's people, the church, when the church gathers, who profess to be followers of Jesus, but their life does not match what they say. They're not committed to following Jesus. They're not holy in their demeanor. They're not holy in their character. This is not just identifying us as something we will be. It is actually describing who you are now. When we come to know the Lord Jesus, our identity changes. We are now those who are holy. I've given you this phrase. To be holy means to be set apart for God and for sacred things. We don't profane our bodies. Our temple is the Holy Spirit of God. And now, as holy people, we live holy lives. We watch what we pay attention to what we listen to. We pay attention to where we go and who we associate with. We pay attention to what we see. We pay attention to what we say or type or text. We pay attention. We seek to live lives that honor God. Therefore, holy brethren, you're some of them who are here tonight who know Jesus. Holy brethren, I'm speaking to you. The family of God, notice holy brethren, partakers. This Greek word partaker is the word that has to do with sharing something, being a partner, having something in common. You're a part of a great family because everybody here who's born again, who's become a son or daughter in glory, you also share a common experience. You share a common experience of the heavenly calling, and I'm going to spend some time talking about that tonight because it's very important. All believers in Jesus Christ have a share in the heavenly calling. Heavenly, it's the highest of heavens as it's described in the book of Hebrews, the place of the throne of God, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 8, verse 5, it describes the heavenly realm. He says, now, if he were on earth, the Lord Jesus, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve as a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. Chapter 9, verse 23, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. We'll talk about that when we get there. Chapter 11, verse number 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. In chapter 12, verse number 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly, partakers of something not of this earth. You share as a part of the family of God, with Jesus as our Lord and Savior and brother, you share now in that heavenly place. It's a heavenly invitation. So I want us to look at these verses tonight and think about the heavenly calling. Called to another place. Not an earthly calling. And I want you to note these verses in your Bible because they're very important. Because they describe for you what verse number 1 in chapter 3 is saying. Therefore, holy brethren, because you are brethren, because we're all a part of God's family, we have all been called with a common calling, a heavenly calling. First, 1 Peter 2:9. You and I have been called out of darkness in to marvelous light. Let me read it. But you are a chosen race and a royal priesthood. This is true now of the family of God. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, this is part of your identity. You're in a new family. You may still have your last name and I have mine. But we're in a common family having been born again, and the Lord Jesus is our brother. We come from the same Father, and you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were somewhere at some time, and you heard the call of God. You heard the call of God. You're in sin and you need to be saved. You heard the call of God. You need to change your life and turn it around and follow Jesus. You heard the call. We sometimes worry about the process of it, but we miss it. You've been called out of the dark. We don't live in the dark anymore as followers of Jesus. We don't do the deeds of darkness. We don't do the things that are done in the dark. We live in the light. You know what's great about light? You're looking at it right here. Look, you see every pitiful wrinkle and everything. Look how pathetic I look. I'm right here in all this light. Look at this. It's pitiful, isn't it? Something about the light. Something about the light. It shows everything for what it is. You and I have been called out of darkness. Why would we ever go back to the dark? Why? The things that are done in the dark are done because of shame. The things that are done in the dark are done to deceive and trick. No, we've been called out of darkness. And then we go to Romans chapter 8. I've strung these together for you because you need to meditate on them tonight. I'm going to try to get through this. I'm not even halfway through. We got a back page to go. I guess you're going to say to the preacher, hurry up. I didn't mention to you, but in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, what a great, great verse. Hebrews 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus, calling me up. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated, calling me up. It's a calling of to come up, to come out, to stay away. It's the call of God. Called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Romans chapter 8. These famous words. We read them for so many different purposes. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He's known us. He's predestined that we be conformed to the image of His Son so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. He is our brother. We're called according to the purpose of God to be saved in Jesus Christ. Listen, and to become like Jesus. It is the purpose of God. It is the calling of God that you and I live like Jesus. It's your calling. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Remember this, when God calls, He never takes it back. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He has called. He never takes it back. He doesn't call you and say, oh, I made a mistake, you're not called anymore. No, you're called. And when you respond to the call by faith, you experience 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You've been called. You are the called ones. I don't want this to be technical, but I want to remind you that the word in the New Testament, the Greek word for the church is ekklesia, called out ones. So the nature of the heavenly calling is this: illumination. You see it there. I've given it to you on your paper. Conviction of sin. When you're called, you're convicted of your sin. Jesus said, I won't go through it tonight in detail. He said, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Here's what happened when you were called. All of a sudden, the Word of God is coming to you. You're hearing about Jesus, and you're starting to get stirred up inside. And all of a sudden, you start feeling convicted about the sin in your life. Then you start being convicted that you aren't living the right kind of life in righteousness. And then you're convicted that you might go to hell. Yes. The call of God. It's always associated with the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. As much as I love to praise God and sing praise and worship and present myself, it is through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. What I'm doing right now. God has called us to holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. God has called us to separation, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them. See, it's the calling. You've been saved. Don't live like that anymore. God has called us to peace. God has called us to suffer for Jesus, for this to which you were called. We will suffer for the Lord Jesus, someone said to Pat recently. Well, you know, here in America, we just don't have the problems they used to have in the church. Well, actually, go to work and stand for Jesus and see what happens. If we get too loud at the church house talking about Jesus, somebody's going to say we hate people. Might even try to sue you or put the preacher in jail. For to this you were called, to suffer. Levi talked about our dear Chinese brothers and sisters. No Bibles tonight. Some of them have been burned. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose, liberty, you're called to liberty, fellowship. I want you to know that you've got a wonderful older brother who's gone before. He is the Lord Jesus. Now, we go back to Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, you're holy. You're holy brothers and sisters. Look around, this is part of your family. You're going to be together a long time. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, what does he say? Consider Jesus. What does the family think about? Jesus. God's family must consider Jesus. This word consider, this Greek word means to fix your mind on something with focused attention. What did we learn in chapter 2, verse 1? For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Oh, it's so easy to drift away. Chapter 12, verse number 3, the word consider is used again. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do I stay strong and follow Jesus in a world that is opposed to everything about Jesus? I look at Jesus, I consider Jesus and what he has gone through, and I realize that nothing I go through can compare to what he went through. Consider Jesus tonight, church. Consider him, the apostle. Here we see it. The apostle. This word apostle is a word that means to be sent with a commission. And over we read these words. The ones in John, I'll just read one for the sake of time. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus said, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He sent the Son. He's been sent. The Lord Jesus has been sent. He has been sent so that we might hear His word and be saved. John 6, 29, Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." I've told you this before, that there is an inscription on the Dome of the Rock in Israel, there on top of the old Temple Mount where the temple used to stand. The Muslims built their worship place. And around the top of the inscription of the Dome of the Rock, it says, "There is one God and He has no son. There is one God and He has no son. There is one God and He has no son." Oh, yes, He does. His name is the Lord Jesus. Consider Jesus. You know what happens when Jesus is honored and lifted up? You know what happens when Jesus is studied? You know what happens when you consider Jesus in all your trouble you're having at home right now? Consider Jesus in all the things that are going on in your work and with your family and with some of us have elder parents. Consider Jesus in it. Consider Jesus in your sickness. Consider Jesus in your troubles. Consider Jesus in your depression and discouragement. Consider Jesus. What is there to think about? Consider Jesus. There's not a human experience that you can describe that we cannot help by understanding Jesus. He's the one sent from God. This one who was sent from God gave us the very words of life. He is the apostle. And then he says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest. I gave you all these last week. These are all the passages in the book of Hebrews having to do with Jesus as the high priest. He is the one we go to. He is the one. We finish our prayers in the name of Jesus. He is our high priest. When you speak to Him, you speak to your friend, your brother, your Savior, your Lord, your high priest. This is the intimacy you must understand in your prayer life. You're not just saying words to mutter words. You're speaking to one who cares and understands. We read it last week. "For since He Himself was tempted in that which He suffered," verse 18 of chapter 2, "He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." He's there. Consider Jesus as your high priest and go to Him. And God's family makes a common confession, just like we have a common experience, a common calling and a common confession. Did you see it here? Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Confession means, the Greek word means to say the same thing, to agree with someone. Hey, you know what? When you confess Jesus as Lord, guess who you're agreeing with? God the Father. May I read it to you? I've given it here to you. When Jesus was baptized, there was a voice that came from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Make the confession. Stand your ground. When someone asks you about the hope within you, tell them about Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. As I've said many times, why is the world so afraid of the name of Jesus? At the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, 5, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him," the voice said to Peter, James, and John. And we read here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago, He spoke long ago in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son. Oh, the red letter words of the gospel. Oh, the teachings of the Lord Jesus. This is the one we must hear. This is the one we must consider. He has been sent from God, fully man, coming to our aid, available to us, risen, ascended in heaven, alive with a glorified body, with the promise that we too one day will come out of our graves if we die before Jesus comes, or if we're alive when He comes, our bodies will be transformed. We make a common confession. We're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of Jesus. No matter what it might cost, we make our great confession. As we finish tonight, 1 Peter chapter 6, I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 6, verse number 12. Fight the good fight. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession. Romans, I have it here for you. Romans 10, 9 and 10, I quote it to people all the time when they come to church. You know, when I preach on Sundays, when I preach now tonight, I never assume everybody here is saved. I never do. I never have in all of my years of preaching. So I will say it to you all again tonight. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. I want you to leave tonight considering Jesus. Are you going to think about Jesus any today? Oh, Pastor Mike, I got so many things to think about. I just got a whole list of things. I'm burdened down. I got so many things on my mind. Yes. That's why you need to consider Jesus. That's why some of us need to go home tonight and sit before we go to bed and consider Jesus. I'm going to read it to you again. But we do not see him, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Next week, we'll consider Jesus, who was faithful to God who appointed him. It's great to see you. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we ask for your wisdom as we study your word tonight. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for the brethren who are gathered in this room. We've now heard your word. We've heard what you have to say to us. We've read it. We've tried to take it apart. We've tried to understand it. I pray for my holy brothers and sisters who are here, who are partakers of the heavenly calling. Would you give them the strength and the focus to consider Jesus? To think hard and to meditate and focus in their minds and their hearts. May they not let these truths slip away. As soon as we leave, may we not be caught back up and forget to consider Jesus, the apostle, the high priest of our confession. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, that we might have life. Shake us out of our mediocrity. Shake us and awaken us out of our sleep. Enliven us that this week we might confess, make the good confession in front of other witnesses that Jesus is Lord and we're not ashamed. May this church be a lighthouse, and may this be a place where people know if they come here, we talk about and we honor, we glorify, we praise, and we consider Jesus, the author of our salvation, our leader, our brother, our Savior, our high priest, our apostle. Glory to God in the highest. We honor you, Lord Jesus, as best we can tonight. May you draw all people to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. It's good to see you tonight. And again, if you want to stay up with us reading, we'll do the rest of chapter 3 next week. And so I hope you'll get, if you get a chance, you'll read through that. We probably won't get much further than that. And I hope you say hello to somebody on your way out. God bless you. Good to see you. Have a great day. We'll see you Sunday.